I had the opportunity to go with our high school kids on the recent mission trip to Lodge Grass, Montana. This morning, we're going to share with you some of our experiences on the Crow Indian Reservation with YouthWorks. Each summer, YouthWorks has a theme and provides a week-long devotional for the participants to study. And I believe there was a picture of it up there earlier. This year's theme was First Love, and it was based on the verse 1 John 4, verse 19, which says, "We love because he first loved us." So why do we go to the Crow Indian Reservation? We go in response to God's love for us. Sorry. We go there to love the community of Lodge Grass. We go not to fix the community, but to do life with them for a few days. We go there to rekindle old relationships and to make new ones, in the name and love and grace of Jesus Christ. We go there to give hugs and to get hugs. That's my favorite part. We go there to celebrate each other, to cheer on Junior when he makes a basket from half court, and he's about this tall, and he did it not once, but twice that week. It was pretty exciting. We go there to congratulate girls like Tori on her graduation from high school, and to encourage her choice to go on to college. We go there to show the children and their parents and their grandparents that Jesus loves them, and that because he loves us all, we love them too. Robert, Kira, and Woody are here this morning to share about how they served in Lodge Grass through Kids Club, work projects, and outstanding sports camp. They're also each going to share a personal experience from their week in Lodge Grass. But before I hand over the microphone to them, I want to share about a special opportunity that a few of us got to have on Wednesday morning that week. The YouthWorks staff at LG added something new to the weekly schedule this year. My crew, which included Brecken, Zeke, Kira, Woody, and myself, went walking through the housing area up on School Hill with Abby, who was one of the YouthWorks staff. We stopped in front of several houses and prayed specifically for the needs of families living there. On one street, we learned that it was a popular area for homeless folks to park their cars and then to sleep in them at night. On another street, we prayed for a family whose head of household was the grandmother, and she took care of up to 14 family members struggling to provide for their needs. Mind you, this was a house that looked like maybe it had at most 3 bedrooms. It was not a big home for 15 people. We saw homes with broken, boarded up windows, yards with overgrown weeds, cars with flat tires. We saw a lot of trash all over the place. We also saw homes that were tidy and quiet, but had needs nonetheless, and we prayed for them all. It was an overwhelming blessing to be able to walk through that neighborhood, knowing that God sees each and every person that lives there, and he loves them unconditionally. I thought about how easy it would be to judge the people that lived there. And I also thought about how often I take for granted the blessings I have in my own life. I would challenge you to walk around our own neighborhoods here in Richland, and to pray for the people who live here. Even if you don't know their specific needs, give your neighbors the gift of God's love by loving them enough to lift them up in prayer. We have a mission field all around us, and God calls us to love every person we come in contact with because he loved us first. So, Robert, are you up next?
Hi, I'm Robert, and this was my first year going on the mission trip. So every year we go, we're broken up into 3 groups, OSC, Kids Club, and Work Projects. OSC stands for Outrageous Sports Camp, and that's where that's for the middle school age kids, and they play basketball with those kids all afternoon. Then kids club and works projects go together. You do work projects for 2 days, like weeding or painting someone's house, and then you switch with the kids club group, and then you work with the kids there. So I was in the work project and kids club group, and for our work project, we went to someone's house to go stay in their house. They were Ron and Donna Whale. So the first day when we started staining, when lunchtime came, she had lunch prepared for us. And the theme for this year was first love, like I said before, with the Bible verse, 1 John 4:19. She was a great example of how we should reflect God's love. Later that day, as we were finishing up, I went inside to wash some stain off my hands. Over at the table, she was tutoring a large lodge grass kid who was having trouble reading. She obviously cared for this community as much as our church did. Our church has been going to lodge grass for 11 years now, and it meant a lot to me that she cared for those kids as much as some of our seniors that have been going on this trip for 4 years. The next day, we came back to finish the deck, and we finished almost everything up before lunch. Donna had made another lunch for us. And after we finished, she decided to give us a tour of her house. On the downstairs wall, she had lots of pictures. There were pictures of Ron and Donna when they were kids. She told us the story of Ron's story of growing up with a large family. Then she went on to her own story. She said she was raised in a foster home and was taken from her dad because he wasn't able to provide enough to feed them from before she could really remember him. She didn't really think about it until she got older and started to look into her parents. She didn't get very far, but a relative called her and said that her father has died and told her about the funeral. And so she went to that funeral, and when everyone was giving their eulogy, they always talked about how much he loved kids. She said it was the first time that she started to think about her father's side of the story. When she was emptying out his apartment, she found boxes of articles about her, like when she got a scholarship. She lived in a small town and got recognized in the newspaper for it. Her dad had kept track of her after she was taken from him. I found it inspiring that after such a difficult time in her life, she was able to still have such a strong faith in God. She knew that he would get her through that time. After work projects, we did kids club. There were three stations, a craft station, game station, and a reading station. Nathan Ernst and I were in charge of the reading station. After we read the kids' Bible story, they would pick up a book that we had brought there, and they would find a kid in our youth group to read to them. I found it kind of funny that the kids didn't really care what book they were reading. They just wanted to spend time with you. I read the same book to a little girl 3 times in a row. When I asked her if she wanted a different book, she would just shake her head. Ellie Hoffner, another kid in our youth group, said that the kids would bring her a book called Earth, Our Home. It was a book on geology, and she said it was probably the most boring book that there was, but the kids just wanted to spend time with her. The next day was the last day of kids club for the summer, and so instead of the stations, we had a carnival. There was face painting, mask making, paper airplane throwing contest, bowling, and a station that my brother and I had was piggyback ride races. My brother and I gave piggyback rides all afternoon. We gave them to all size kids, and the choking from the kids hanging on your neck and the bruised hips from them wrapping their legs around your waist was all part of it. But that was definitely one of my highlights of the trip, and I don't think I would trade it for anything. So I just want to thank you guys all for your prayers and your financial support. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Kira Westland. I'm just going to start because I don't have anything to say about that. How lucky am I to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard? That's a Winnie the Pooh quote, but I think it just really speaks to how much lodge grass means to our church and this family that we take every year. This is my 4th year in lodge grass and my final year as a participant, and it was so hard to say goodbye. Every single year, I end up crying, like, before we leave, and this year I cried on Monday night, which was, like, 4 days before we left, but I realize that it's only hard to say goodbye or see you later to Lodgegrass because it's so near to my heart. And how often are we blessed with a place that we love so much it makes leaving, even if just for a year, almost unbearable? The last 3 years in Lodgegrass, I've been able to help with a program called Outrageous Sports Camp, or OSC. This program is for older kids. A lot of middle schoolers and sometimes high schoolers come, and we play basketball, dodgeball, kickball, stuff like that, and have a short lesson in small groups. When YouthWorks was just doing kids club, the older kids didn't really have anything to do. So with OSC, they have somewhere to go and hang out and be active and be surrounded with God's love. We get to hear them talk about Jesus and pray for each other and their families, and it's just a really cool thing to be able to witness. While Kids Club, OSC, and Work Projects are amazing ministries, the best part of the week comes in the personal connections we each make with members of the community. Before my first trip to Lodgegrass, our group was presented with the opportunity to be pen pals with the fifth grade class in Lodgegrass. My pen pal was a kid named Ty Moccasin. I wrote him a letter just saying things like, I hope you're having a great school year. I'll be in Lodgegrass in a few months, so I hope we can meet while I'm there. When we arrived in Lodgegrass that June, a woman named Diane came up to me and said, are you Kira? Ty wants to meet you. So I followed her outside, and Ty kind of just looked at me and then he left. But a while later, when I was sitting in the hall in the church, he came in and he was like, I'm sorry for my handwriting, it's really bad. And I was like, that's okay. I had never actually gotten a letter back from him, so I didn't know what he was talking about, but I didn't tell him that. I didn't really interact with him much that summer, but he asked if I would keep writing him while he was in sixth grade, so that was really cool. The next summer, we went to the lunch program at the school, and I remember hearing someone say, Kira, and I look up, and here's Ty, and he's just, like, standing there smiling and telling his friends that I was his pen pal. And every year after that, he kept asking me to write him, so I have, and I still haven't gotten a letter from him, but that's okay. This year, we went to a powwow on the Sunday night. We arrived in Lodgegrass, and I was looking around, like, maybe I'll see Ty tonight. That would be super cool. And I gave up really quickly for some reason, because I didn't really think he would actually be there. But then all of a sudden, here he is standing next to me saying, I think I know you. Like, he just kind of snuck up on me, and it was really funny. He actually got a Facebook this year, so I was able to talk to him a bit before the trip, but it was really cool to see him in person after a year, and for him to want to say hi, even if it was just for, like, 2 seconds. The thing about Ty is that he's this really confident, kind of snarky, do good when nobody's looking and be cool when they are preteen boy. So it's really neat for me to be a person in his life whom he wants to introduce to his friends and hang out with during OSC and send letters to and impress with half-court shots, which he actually did, and I had to buy him a bag of hot Cheetos for that. I don't know what kind of impact I've had in Ty's life. I don't know if I've shown him well enough how much I care about him, how important he is, how he's like this little brother to me, or how I know he can succeed in life. Obviously, I care about him, and he's on my heart and in my prayers all the time, or else I wouldn't be up here talking about him. I don't know what he thinks of me or how much importance he sees in our relationship. All I know is that by meeting Ty and knowing him, I've been blessed beyond what I can put into words. If I had time to tell you all the little stories and relive all the moments with him, I would. But instead, I'll just share a few more things from the week. With the theme, First Love, we learned that God's love is recklessly extravagant. There are no boundaries and no limits to his love. Nothing we do will make God love us less or love us differently. That is the way we're called to love each other, and that's the way the people in the Crow tribe show love to us. They don't care where we come from or who we know or what we do with our lives. They accept us as friends within 2 minutes of conversation and share their lives with us before they even know our names. There's no other place like Lodgegrass, and I'm so thankful to have been given the opportunity to witness God's love there in the last few years. We sang a song during the week that said, no place I'd rather be than here in your love. And it was so powerful because Lodgegrass is a place that is overflowing with God's love. It seals your heart. It's still mine, and I hope and pray that God takes me back there one day. We get asked a lot why we keep returning to Lodgegrass, why we've wanted to be there every year for the past 11 years. Some people think that this trip is us going to fix a broken community, but that's not at all what it is. We're not drawn back to Lodgegrass because it's broken and we need to fix it. We're drawn back because we're broken and Lodgegrass fixes us. Here's a place where we're loved unconditionally, not only by God, but by the kids who sit in our laps and the elders who welcome us into their homes and pray with us. It's overwhelming how joyful and caring and accepting they are, and I think that's a kind of love that we should all strive to give to one another. So that's all I have. Here's Woody.
Hi, Hi, my name's Woody Page. I'm going to be a senior, and this is my third year to Lodge Grass. We love because he first loved was kind of the theme quote of our mission trip this year. And the last way we really show love to the community is through the cookout on Thursday. For a lot of us, the cookout is kind of considered like one of the best parts of the week, but it's also considered one of the worst parts of the week, in my opinion. So the barbecue or cookout, it's an open invite to anybody in the community. We get a lot of people, old and young. We serve hamburgers and hot dogs, and we have chips and drinks for everybody. And the meal is kind of considered, it's a meal that a lot of people show up because they can't afford food. And so they like to, because it's a free meal, so they show up. And you'll see like little kids pocketing hamburgers and like running home because they need an extra meal for tomorrow. And just being at the cookout's a blessing, whether it's your first week in Lodge Grass or it's your last year. And because you get to see people that you've connected with over the years, or you get to see people that you connected with that week. And sometimes it's the kid that you spent 30 seconds to giving a piggyback ride, or it could be somebody that you haven't seen in 4 years who you met on your first week. And everyone on the mission trip knows that as we go back to Lodge Grass, we go back to Lodge Grass to show the communities God love, but we also know that by going back, we're shown God's love through the community tenfold. It's something that's hard to describe, but you know you're there. You know you're receiving it when you're there, and you just have somebody telling you that you're their brother when you probably don't know the kid's last name. Our love runs deep in the community, and their love runs deep in us. You really see the love at the cookout. You see it as you say goodbye one last time, and there's kids tearing up because they won't see you tomorrow. And that's really why I say the cookout's the worst part, is because you get to see kids that you've connected with, but then at the same time, you have to say goodbye. You see the love when the staff workers tell us that the community's been asking when we're coming every single day. And you see the love because it causes us to hurt when we leave, because we feel so much love that it makes it seem like home. The love is shown through Lodge Grass is so authentic and pure and never ending. I know it can only be God's love shining down on us. The barbecue is the last time of the week for us to, for that love to be shown onto the community from us, and for them to show love to us. It gives us the time to give one last hug or piggyback ride to those who will always be in our heart. To be honest, the barbecue really does stink, and I have a great time, but no matter what, when I look back at it, there's always the pain of knowing that I left one kid when he was like, oh, please stay, what do you like, I want another day. And I was like, dude, I gotta go home, like, sorry. but knowing that I wouldn't feel this pain if God hadn't loved us, and I wouldn't be able to love Lodge Grass if God hadn't loved us, it's unbelievable. Because there's no way that we would be able to show God's love to Lodge Grass if he didn't show love to us. And we are, because God does love us. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing. What a gift that is to us. Let's spend a moment in prayer and close this time. We'll pray especially for the people of Lodge Grass. Lord God, you have helped us enter into a relationship with these folks from Lodge Grass. And God, we are blessed for it. Thank you that you have called us together in this life to love and to serve one another. Thank you for these young people who have given a week of their time and energy to pour out your love upon those who desperately need it. And thank you for the added, most gracious blessing that you have given us, that these people have poured love back into our community. We receive it, Lord Christ, with joy and thanksgiving. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.